Yesterday morning, right after we finished our vows to save all beings, John, who is head Dharma teacher yesterday, read a line from the temple rules that said something like, understand that you have accumulated bad karma, which is like a big mountain. As you know, the temple rules are words of wisdom that come down to us through the centuries from our Zen ancestors. And in this particular line, they're telling us how important it is for us to really see our own karma so it doesn't trip us up and so we can use it to help this world. And coming immediately after our vows to our bold vows to wake up moment to moment and save all beings, it raises an important question for us. If we've accumulated this huge mountain of karma, how can we ever be clear enough to help all beings? If you're like a lot of us when we begin to practice, and certainly I fall in that category, your first inclination might be to just get rid of your karma, right? I mean, there's more than one person who started Zen with the purpose of doing just that. But a student asked our founding teacher, Zen Master Sung San, many years ago, if Zen practice actually lets us get rid of our own karma. And this is what he said. Zen practice does not take away karma. If you're not practicing, your karma controls you. But if you are practicing, you control your karma. So your karma becomes clear. Good karma, bad karma, whatever karma you have becomes clear. Then only help other people. That's the point. Then he says, bodhisattvas have bodhisattva karma. Karma means mind action. So karma controls me, or I control my karma and help other people. These two are different, but it's the same karma. So I want to talk a little bit about how our Zen practice actually can transform our own personal karma into bodhisattva karma. As Zen Master Sung San said, even though our karma doesn't go away through practice, practice can help our karma become clear. This is a really important point because it's so difficult for us to see our own karma. And when we blindly act out of our own karmic habit patterns, we create suffering for ourselves, and we also create suffering for those around us. So you hear this phrase about karma becoming clear, and I want to talk about what that actually means. I think for a number of us, it can just sound like some vague, oh yeah, I'll just magically clear my karma. But it actually works through our ongoing practice. And the first step, most important step, is waking up from our dream of getting rid of our karma. This can take real courage. Most of us don't want to look at our karma because they know it's a mixture of aspects of ourselves that we like, and aspects of ourselves that we really wish we didn't have to look at, but it's really important. And I think one of the stumbling blocks is all of this talk, which we heard even in the temple rules and in Zen Master Sung San's statement, we tend to think of karma as good or bad. So I'm happy to look at my good karma, but not so happy to look at what is traditionally thought of as bad karma. But when we become familiar, and I mean infinitely familiar, intimately familiar with our karma, any kind of karma can be used to help others. even our deepest suffering can be used, can be transformed into compassion. The pain that we've experienced when we see it in others, we can use to help other people. And the delusions we have can be transformed into wisdom. This is what Zen Master Sung San meant when he said that bodhisattvas have bodhisattva karma. So everybody in this room already has some measure of bodhisattva karma. When we forget our self-centeredness and in moments when we see things clearly and see what needs to be done around us in this moment. So once we let go of this idea of getting rid of our karma, we can get down to the real work, which is let our karma reveal itself to us. And it happens in a number of ways, but I want to talk about a couple of them. And you've already experienced it, but I want to just tell you a little bit about my own experience. For me, and I think for most of us, this happens slowly over time through our formal sitting practice. When I first began to meditate, my thoughts, as I was trying to not let my thoughts keep up, which was a big mistake, instead of just watching them come and go. When I first began to practice, my thoughts seemed to be completely random. And I distinctly remember hearing other students at the end of introduction to meditation talk at great length about these amazing insights that appeared during sitting. But for me, it just seemed like a lot of scattered thoughts and static, kind of like a radio that couldn't quite pull in a distant station. I thought, oh my God, I must be doing this wrong. But over time, just by paying close attention during sitting, I began to notice that some of these thoughts kept recurring over and over and over and over. And I began to realize that they weren't random at all. Seeing them over and over and over, I realized that they were mental habit patterns that were created by my own karma. I'm sure you have the same thing happen to you, and the pervasive habits that keep coming up, the thoughts you keep having coming up, are unique to each of us depending on the family we grew up in, the way we digested our experiences over time, the beliefs we have about the way things are. And over time, these habitual thoughts become more and more familiar. Obviously, some of them we like more than others. And some of them can be kind of difficult to just sit through. But I've found that over time, even the ones that I don't particularly enjoy seeing appear have lost a lot of their power. Just being willing to be here for whatever arises during our meditation will knock the hard edges off of these aspects of ourselves that we don't like to see, the ones that we're a little bit afraid of. And I've also found, and I'm sure you have, that even the ones I don't particularly enjoy, if we just watch the coming and going, they eventually get bored and leave. Of course, they keep coming back, but then we get more and more familiar with them. So when they appear again, we can just acknowledge them, just kind of mentally saying, oh, hello again, old friend. I know you. And you stay as long as you like, but I'm not going to entertain you a lot. Not push you away, but not inviting you in for tea, as they say. Another aspect of our training, which I've really appreciated more and more, especially after I got over my resistance to it, is Kongan training. And Kongans are created in a way that can show our karma to us. They show us the places where we have some kind of karma that obscures our ability to see things clearly. So when that's why sometimes a certain Kongan maybe gets clarified fairly easily. And for each of us, there are koans that we might have to work on for a long, long time before we can see through the places that we attach. Finally, and one of the things that I really want to talk about today, because of all the things that are going on in our world right now, in terms of the pandemic, the incredible polarization in our society, the politicization of everything, the 400 plus year history of systemic racism in our country, is that karma is not limited only to individuals. We talk about it in an individual way because we all have work to do on our own individual karma. But human beings have human karma. Families have family karma, which I'm sure you're all aware of when you get together with your family during holidays. Groups have group karma, and even countries have country karma. And we're seeing this country karma being played out right now in America. Our country's karma is being revealed to us in a way that certainly is more clear than any time during my lifetime. There's a famous quote that says, "Those who don't pay attention to the past are condemned to repeat it." And of course, this is a quote about history, the importance of knowing our history. And that plays a big role in this country karma we have. But for our purposes, we can also say those who don't pay attention to their karma are condemned to pass it on. And this is a really important point. Our country's karma is also our karma. They are not separate. So we have to be really careful about the karma that we pass on to the next generation, not just in terms of the racial strife that has been with our country since the beginning, but from any kinds of groups that have been marginalized over the years. Women, the Me Too movement is important for us to look at, especially for those of us aging white males, but for all of us, and for people who don't conform to what we call our sexual and gender norms, people with disabilities, any group of people who can be labeled and turned into others, we have to get to the bottom of as bodhisattvas. So this clarifies really important work at hand for us if we really want to fulfill our vows. And I know that over the last several months, especially with all of these huge historic issues that have been coming up, so many of us have been at a real loss for what we can do about this. And as we often say, and one of the things that's beautiful about Zen is there's no recipe, there's no cookie cutter for exactly what to do, but it comes from inquiry. Actually having that question, what is this and how can I help? So fully immersing in ourselves in this very question and letting this question grow and grow and grow, and not short-circuiting it by settling on a partial answer or convincing ourselves that it's just time to turn on the TV and lay down on the comfy couch. Letting this question really get under our skin is a wonderful starting point. Right now, our world is a real life koan. And like every koan, there can be a feeling of discomfort when it gets under your skin. You can't let go of it. You can't resolve it. But it's really necessary if you really want to help this world. And as this question grows and grows, you'll naturally see more and more opportunities to help in this very moment. You won't be able to ignore them. So any moment when you're the least bit clear, don't wait to act. This world needs your help right now. And I want to thank you all again for taking this time to do this really important work. And I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll see you later.